Here, we just want to take a look here at our study on Sunday nights. Just want to take one look at one instance in this consideration. And again, because these messages are taped, I just want to be clear. You know, in James chapter 5, it talks about there in chapter 5, verse 15, "And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick and shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The reference in 1 Corinthians 3 about we being the temple of God, and that's been read often in our and referred to often in our studies and messages here lately on Sunday morning. We are the temple of the Lord. And it says there in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 3, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." Again, speaking to the children of God in his church. That's the context of that that's there. "Which temple? For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." In 1 Corinthians 11, 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," because of the lack of not discerning the Lord's body in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And we've mentioned here in these messages many times that we can't know about the Lord's chastisement one for another. We can't know that. The Lord, that's the Lord's working, the Lord's business. We can't know that. But these scriptures are here, and we certainly should not lend ourselves to superstition by any means. I mean, we know of those that have been superstitious, those that were, when the Apostle Paul was on his fourth missionary journey and they sailed and they were shipwrecked on that island, when that snake came out of that fire and bit the Apostle Paul on the hand, they said that he must be some kind of murderer or something. You know, we're to not be superstitious. And then when he didn't die, because with that snake that bit him, that jumped out of the fire and bit him, he should have died fairly in. When they saw he didn't die, then to say he was some great god, you know, went to the other extreme. And so we can't know about the Lord's chastisement one for another. The purpose of these messages are just for us as his children to heed the warning from the Word of God that these things are real. 1 John chapter 5, that's a scripture that we added last time. Take a look over here. Let's read that real quick, verses 16 and 18. And here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, "If any man see of his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death." So that can happen. A brother is looking on at another brother that sees this, and the context is the Lord's people that are in the Lord's churches. If the Apostle John is not a church man, I don't know who is. Amen? He's a church man, and we know that he writes from that context. "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he, that is the Lord, shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, and I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." And so this is here. "We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not," that's the new man, "but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." That in context or in relevance to 1 Corinthians 5, that says that those that are wayward in the church, when it's necessary for them to be disciplined, they're delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And so if we obey the Lord and we serve the Lord well and obey him in what he says and put on the fruit of the Spirit and those are exercised in our life, we keep ourselves from that wicked one. But if we get wayward, there it can be. So these things are here as warnings unto us. And we can't know about that. We can't say that happened to this one because of that. We can't know that. We've taken a look at different examples, and then in parallel to this, we know that for every man, and what I've just mentioned about is about the children of God. These scriptures that we've read and referred to are talking about the children of God. But then we know that Ecclesiastes says that, and Solomon says, and the Lord speaking through him in Ecclesiastes 9:11, "I returned and saw unto the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." Now the Lord's in control, but there's just, from the standpoint of us living life, things happen. Things just happen. And then In Galatians 6, the Lord says in Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. This is the case with all men, okay? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We put down corn, we're going to get corn in abundance. Mark it down. And I put down something else, I'm going to get that in abundance. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And the plan and the purpose and the hope is we reap unto good things, amen, that our fruit remain. And so we've taken a look at Tabitha there in Joppa. Dorcas is another name they had for her. And why it is that we do get weak, sick, and die. We took a look at Ananias and Sapphira. They lied. We took a look at David when Nathan came to him and the child that was his there died. We took a look at Lazarus, the beggar. You know, why was he there? Why was he there? And we don't have any indication of that, but he was the Lord's. Last time we took a look also at Job. And Job, for a time of testing, was touched by the Lord. Even his children lost their lives because of a testing of a saint of God. And we, boy, that might get crossways in our minds, but listen, brothers and sisters, if the Lord will help us that we would just yield to him, we will be blessed of him, and we pray that those things wouldn't be that way. But God brought up Job to Satan. The Lord brought up Job to Satan, and may the Lord just help us that we might look to him. Tonight, we want to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and see here how this man, the place that he had come to, and this is during the course of the apostles' missionary journeys. He's not even at Rome yet when he writes this epistle to the second epistle to the Corinthians. But we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 how it has come and where Paul has come to, where the Lord has brought him to. And he has been talking to the church, if we understand it right, about his authority as an apostle, about his witness before them, how he amongst them chose to work and did not claim from them the support that was due one that would work in the ministry, because he wanted to make it such that they would be free, they wouldn't be cumbered by this requirement of supporting the ministers that would work amongst them. And so he talks to them about those things. He talks to them about his authority as an apostle. He writes to them in the second epistle yet again about things that he's had to talk to them about and dealing with them. And he reminds them about his suffering in the flesh and how the church there at Corinth seemed to be discounting that he is an apostle and he does have this authority from God to tell them things from God. I mean, if we look at the book of Romans all the way to the book of 2 Thessalonians, the Lord used the apostle Paul to give us the operating and marching orders and operation of the church of the living God. Okay, so he's the apostle to the Gentiles. Very clear. And so they are discounting that. And so here, listen in chapter 12 how it is with the Apostle Paul and where the Lord has worked in him, brought him to, and listen to his speech and listen how he is with these things that he experiences. Verse number 1 of chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He's telling them about how the Lord has revealed things unto him. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. And listen how he says it. It's kind of akin to what John does when the Apostle John writes about himself in his own epistle or his own gospel, the Gospel of John. He talks about that other disciple. He doesn't even mention his name. Paul doesn't want to imply this directly, but he says that it's him, but he does get around to indicating that it's him, I believe. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body. And understand that the Apostle Paul went out into the desert of Arabia there from Damascus for some time to be instructed directly of the Lord. Okay, he was saved at Damascus. He was there with the Damascus church. But he tells us, as in our Wednesday night studies, we can get over to that in Galatians, I believe, it tells us about how that is the case with him. He was instructed directly of the Lord for the work that God had him to do. And so the timing may be that when he was there in the desert, these things came from the Lord to him. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Or of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine affirmities. That's a big statement, folks. He said he's going to glory and rejoice in the affliction that he has in his body, it seems, here. Verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Evidently, the Apostle Paul, when he was there, when you would see him in person, maybe from these afflictions that he bore in his body, maybe some from that where the Lord struck him blind on the Damascus Road, or maybe he was just, there was just something about his build and the way that the Lord had put him together, references that he makes to the churches is that some even thought him to be contemptible, that he was maybe very ugly. His speech was not, his voice might have been strange or not pleasing to hear. That in person, they would see him and said, is this great one that writes to us this way? And so there's something there about that. Maybe, and he lists here for the churches about the things that he's endured, shipwreck, floating around in the water for a day and a night, you know, in other passages, beat with rods so many times, stoned and left for dead once, scourged, different things. I mean, he has bore in his body abuse for the sake of Christ. And he tells them about these revelations, so they would understand the working of God in him. But he says, I'm not going to present that to you as the final fact that I'm called to do this work in my love and desire for you. That's not the reason you should hear me. It's happened. But because the Lord showed me those things, that's not the reason that you should hear me. He's qualified. He's authorized of God for them to hear him. Verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. He said, I got them. I got those revelations. Now look how many books that the Lord used, and how we talk about the 66 books of the Bible, and then from Romans to 2 Thessalonians, that many books to the churches. I mean, the Lord worked mightily through the Apostle Paul, but he says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And he says it's the messenger of Satan to beat him up, to buffet, to hit him, to slap him. If I understand that word buffet right, lest I should be exalted above measure. So much poured out upon this man, so much how the Lord called him from the darkness that he walked in to the light and service of the Lord, and so powerfully used in his ministry and those things the Lord used him to write that are here for us and with us down to this day in this New Testament Baptist Church, Olmsted Baptist Church. He said, the Lord did this to keep me in the right place, to keep me in the right mind and right spirit. And he says here in verse 8, For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan to buffet me, that it might be removed. I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And the Lord said to him, and he said unto me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect, Paul, in your weakness. You know, I can't tell you that I'll step right up and volunteer for that. But that's the way the Lord did with this man. And he always looked to rejoice in the Lord. He always looked to focus upon the Lord. Continue in verse 9 there. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Not in the revelations. Although they were blessed. Not in the blessing of the Lord using him in such a way, but the Lord gave him these things to keep him in check, that the Lord having given and revealed so much to him, the Lord gave him what he needed in these infirmities and this thorn in the flesh and this messenger of Satan to buffet him, to keep him there and keep him usable. To keep him usable. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of God may rest upon me. Because he says, the weaker I am made in this flesh, the weaker I am made in this flesh, the more contemptible I may be even to my brothers and sisters in Christ in appearance, and the sickness or the disease, the injury, the wound, the scars, think about being stoned and left for dead. That's not like 1, 2, 3 rocks that hit you in the head. They threw rocks at a person in stoning, sometimes nigh unto covering them up with stones. There wouldn't be a part of your body that wouldn't be affected, or your whole upper body pelted. Your jaw broke, your cheekbones broke, your head fractured. I mean, your shoulder blade, your ribs broken. He could have well, in the accounts that he gives, I failed to have that scripture handy, but the accounts that he gives about those things that he endured, it's here in chapter 11. Let's jump back here and see in chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, and labors more abundant, and stripes above measure. I can't count the times I was whipped, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 times, 39 stripes. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day have I been in the deep, floating around on a board or on a barrel. In journeys often, in perils of waters and perils of robbers. Yeah, there were on the way, there was times they got robbed. In perils of mine own countrymen, the Jews that now hated him. In perils of the heathen, those that didn't know God that abused him. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often. In hunger and thirst and fastings often. In cold and not having enough clothes. Beside those things that are without, what he had to bear on the outside of the skin, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. This isn't a man that's bragging. He's just telling the truth about the calling of the Lord in him. Back in chapter 12, in verse 9, most gladly there in the middle, most gladly therefore I rather glory in my infirmities, because that the weaker that I am, the power of Christ sustains me. I'm made perfect What did the Lord tell him there in the early part of the verse? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I know I'm adding your, but that's implied. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. In being reproached. In necessities. A necessity comes along, and he says, well, praise the Lord, it's another opportunity for the Lord to show his power. I don't know what that is, folks. But here, the man of God, so used so greatly, he has been hurting. He has been sick. He has been abused for the service of the Lord, for the witness of the Lord. The Lord has brought him to a point that when something else comes along, he says, okay, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know that you are. In the meantime, I'll just wait for you to do it. Amen. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Not for his sin, but for the pursuit of the Word of God and the service of the Lord. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Why do we get weak, sick, and die? Sometimes it might be for the cause of the Lord. And if the Lord brings us to that, may the Lord help us that we might be pleasing to Him in it. Verse number 5 of chapter 13. We see here in verse number 3, since you seek, well, let's read it from verse 1. This is the third time I'm coming to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time as being absent. And being absent, now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. He says that is the authority of an apostle. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, there's been doubt on the part of some that he is God's man, that he has any obligation or any responsibility to even be talking to them about the sin going on in the church, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, the Lord Jesus Christ, yet liveth he by the power of God. See, the Lord's weakness showed the strength. God's ways are not our ways, folks. That we just may Lord help us to get over that. His ways are not our ways. What makes sense to us in our flesh and in our mind, it does not. It's not accounted as even that anything that matters to the Lord, because His way is well above ours. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. It's one thing for us to be sick and weak because of something that I've done. I told you about a time that I had illness in my life, and I know it was directly from the Lord working in my life. And you can't know that, but I know that because the Lord spoke to me and told me and showed that to me, I believe. And so in this study, we can't say, well, that's happening to this person because of this. The only ones that can know is them and the Lord, us and the Lord. And this apostle, this man, he knew. Why didn't he? And he goes here in verse number 5 of chapter 13, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate? You don't really belong to the Lord. He wants them to make your calling and election sure. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. An encouragement to the positive.